Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the big show is on your radio. The Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. What is happening, South Carolina? Tremendous to be with you. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure, as always, is mine. And today, the first of what will hopefully be a new but short-lived era, ladies and gentlemen, live from my living room, live from the couch in the Casa de Love, it is the Rob Brown Show. The home version of the home edition is coming through your speakers right this very second. For the first time here in the upstate, your boy is broadcasting live, comfortably adorned in basketball shorts and a hoodie from right here on the recliner. The hair is unkempt. The t-shirt is wrinkled, but the sports talk will be phenomenal. It is great to be with you on a Monday, back in the network studio in the Radio Ranch, pushing the button, switching the switches, the guy in charge of the broadcast. So if you like him, give him all the credit. If you hate the show, it's all his fault. What's up, DJ Tim? How's the ones and twos treating you today, pal?
I'm good, man. I don't know what it is. You know, I did Mark Ryan's last show when he was in the studio, and his first show in his living room. Now I did your last show when you were in the studio, and now your first show when you're in the living room. I don't know what it is. You said off air, I must be cursed or something. I don't know what's going on, dude. It's crazy.
I'm not saying that you are. I am saying that I cannot definitely say that you are not, for the record. It's not that I think that you are cursed. It's just that I have no way of proving that you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
But the good news is you are in studio. Mm-hmm. It appears that all the buttons and switches are working so far today. So it would seem that for at least the time being, we're able to get on the air. And that, you know, at this point, that's all that matters.
That's always a good thing, I think.
That's right. Any level of consistency achieved at this point in history, I would say is good news. It's good news at this point. So we are ready to rock and roll. 3 hours of the finest sports talk that you could possibly hope for. All along the upstate of South Carolina comes across your speakers, 97.7 FM, 97.1 FM, and all around the world on your smart speaker. You just tell Alexa, hey, play ESPN Upstate, and she'll say, boom, playing ESPN Upstate from radio.com. I got to tell you, that might even sound better on this headset than it does on the studio mic, Tim.
I'll say it definitely sounds better here than I feel like it does in the studio. Just saying.
That's because you don't have to make me watch weird faces when I do my impressions. That's what's keeping you safe today. Busy day on the broadcast, busy weekend in sports, and we are going to get to all of it. But before we do, let you know that despite the difficulties that we are going through right this moment, the phone lines and the text lines and the emails and the tweets, they remain open for you, my friends. Yes, indeed. 844-477-3776. 844-477-3776 is the way to call into the show. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do have the text screen available to me right here in the palatial one-bedroom, one-bathroom Casa de Love. I can see your text from my couch. That's right. You can talk to me inside the comfort of my own home at this exact moment in time. So 71307 is the text line. If you would like to shoot us a text, that option remains on the table for you. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. At the Rob Brown Show, if you would like to tweet me at the Rob Brown Show or at ESPN Upstate, if you would like to contact everybody at the station. I will let you all know real quick. I'm not going to get super into details. I did talk to Diesel earlier today. I've had a handful of people who have reached out and ask about the D-Train. Spoke to Diesel just a little while ago. Still a bit under the weather, but feeling all right for the most part. We will keep you abreast of his situation until he makes his triumphant return to the ESPN Upstate lineup. But I did speak to him earlier today, and he is feeling all right. Still a bit under the weather, but feeling good enough for the time being to continue getting healthy and ready to rock and roll. All right, we got a lot of things that we need to get to, but Tim, we always lead off our show with something. What's it called?
It's the lunch break down.
Do you have to push a button to put yourself back on the air every time I ask you to talk?
I have to hit two buttons.
Oh man, I like because I'm. You can just leave them on because you're going to say more to me on the air than you're going to say it off to it. At least if I do my job correctly. So. DJ Tim on the ones and twos, and he has corrected his time for the lunch break. Down the three things that you must know before you take your lunch break to talk sports with your coworkers or family or friend, or if you're like me, your living room wall, because that's the only other thing around to talk sports with. Item number one, former NFL MVP Cameron Newton has reached an agreement on a one-year incentive-laden deal with the New England Patriots, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen, the two of them reporting late last night that Newton will step into the mix alongside Emperor Palpatine. No, I'm sorry, Bill Belichick. That's a Star Wars joke, Tim.
I know, I'm a Star Wars fan.
Okay, just making sure. To fill the void left by Tommy Touchdown Tom Brady as he heads down to Tampa Bay. The Patriots did not select a quarterback in April's draft with 2019 fourth-round pick Jarrett Stidham and 11-year vet Brian Hoyer atop the depth chart. Now the question is, will Cam Newton take that spot? And the answer is obviously yes, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see any way that either Hoyer or Stidham will be able to break Cam Newton in order to take that number one overall spot on the depth chart away from him, and I've got the numbers to back that up. I will give them to you coming up in the next segment of the show as we will spend some time talking in depth about Cam Newton. Is this bigger for Cam or the hoodie? Can Cam Newton save the Patriots dynasty? Does it have it in the tank? And are the Patriots suddenly a Super Bowl favorite now that Superman Cam Newton has signed that contract and is in the building working alongside Josh McDaniels and the hoodie, Bill Belichick? We are going to address all of those questions coming up in the next segment of the show and throughout the remainder of the 3 hours of the broadcast. Item numero dos, the PGA Tour had itself quite the interesting weekend as the Travelers Championship wrapped up in Cromwell, Connecticut. It was not an easy return to golf, as initially after two quiet weeks on tour, this past weekend was a bit chaotic. There were positive tests of players and caddies all around the tour. You had the sudden arrival of the PGA Tour commissioner, which made a lot of people think that he might be there to potentially launch another shutdown of golf. And you had one major champion leaving and one playing around all by himself because of the way the quarantine worked out. The stark reality of COVID-19 had its nasty little grubby fingers all over the PGA Tour this weekend, and its impacts were felt by the golfers, by the tournament and its organizers, and by the television watching audience around the country that tuned in. Now, after a week that produced multiple warnings and as many strong signs of the desire to continue golf in the face of the pandemic, we head to Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But this week at TPC River Highlands taught us a handful of lessons and gave us some unfortunately very stark reminders that we are certainly not out of the woods of this pandemic yet. We are going to talk a little golf later on as Dustin Johnson would get his win, a win that he said was inevitable. He felt that he was on his way, that it was only a matter of time, and he got it done this weekend after some spectacular play on the course in Sunday's final round. We will address that coming up later on. We also had one additional player that has tested positive. We will tell you who that is and how that impacts the future moving forward as well. And finally, item number three, as we wrap up our lunch break down, the three things you have to know before you go talk sports with your friends, family, and coworkers. Take a deep breath, ladies and gentlemen, because what I'm about to tell you feels normal. It feels like it's supposed to be this way. It feels like it is time for those of us who are sports dorks. It feels like it's time for those of us who like to just lay down a little dinero on the sports and enjoy that high level of competition, have something to do once again. Ladies and gentlemen, the line on the LA Clippers, LA Lakers game, the second half of an opening doubleheader on July 30th for the National Basketball Association, is on the board that is right. You can take your hard-earned money and start entrusting it into the hands of Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James, into the hands of Zion Williamson or Rudy Gobert, as the New Orleans Pelicans open as one-point favorites over the Utah Jazz on July 30th in the first half of that doubleheader. 22 teams in playoff contention headed down to Orlando, Florida as we speak for neutral site games, regular season. 8 games for all 22 teams, followed by, if required, a play-in tournament leading all the way up to the NBA playoffs. As of right now, we do know that the Dallas Mavericks will be without Willie Cauley-Stein. The Portland Trailblazers will be without Trevor Ariza. The Lakers will be without Avery Bradley. And a handful of other players have elected to sit out of the NBA's restarted season. But we know that the restarted season has momentum because you can now head to Caesars Palace or the Mandalay Bay. You can now head to your gambling institution of choice and begin laying the ducats down on who you think will win those regular season games and will win the NBA's most awkward championship of all time. Yes, indeed, America, it is time to get sports going again. I don't know if it's safe or not. What I do know is I get paid money to talk about it, so that's what we're going to do. All right. Let's go ahead and run to our first break. When we come back here in just a minute, we are going to break down Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots after years of being a Carolina Panther. Is he good enough to fill the void left by 20 touchdown? We're going to address that. Are the Patriots now a Super Bowl favorite in an AFC that is stock locked and loaded at the quarterback position with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun? Will Cam Newton be able to place himself in the upper echelon of the AFC? We will address that and plenty more when we come back in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown. My man DJ Tim scratching up the ones and twos for you today. You're listening live to a home edition of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. My man DJ Tim back on the board in the Radio Ranch, coming to you live from my couch because that's the most comfortable place in this one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment in which I can comfortably sit and broadcast a show. Happy to be with you, however. I don't care if I'm in studio, I don't care if I'm on a couch. I don't care if I'm in a bar. I don't care if I'm broadcasting to you live from outside at the pool, Tim, which I'm not saying that I'm going to do tomorrow, but I just found out that all of this stuff can be used remotely, and yeah, I'm totally going to do that. So,
don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you know, I think all of our goal at this point in life is just to make the most of quarantine life. You know what I mean? We're just making the most of lockdown life. Yeah. And if it's possible for me to comfortably broadcast from sitting poolside, I'm going to do that. And if you know, if the people at the apartment complex come out and say, don't do that, I'm just going to ask them if they'd like to be interviewed live on my show and become a local celebrity as DJ Tim is. And, I mean, who's going to say no to that? You know what I mean? Like, we may just start. And by the way, yes, the answer for those of you who are asking, yes, my headset headphones are about 4 feet long apiece, so we can socially distance and do a show. It's perfect. Everybody wins. You know, I get to sit by a pool. You guys get a hell of a sports broadcast. I mean, I feel like it's 100% across the board. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get to buy a pool, man. I'm in this room all by myself for 7 hours today, all through Thursday, man. Wow, it must be nice to be you, huh?
You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people, and I will tell you, I'm not one of them, all right? I'm a person. I like being around people, right? Like, so yesterday, we went out on the, Lake Kiawe for the first time. You ever been to Lake Kiawe, Tim?
Yes.
Okay, so first time at Lake Kiawe, went out with a couple, just a small number of people, out on a pontoon boat, out to Lake Kiawe, out to a place called Party Cove, which I had never been to. But, well, I'd never been to any of these places on Lake Kiawe. It was my first time on the lake. But we went out to Party Cove. And I got to tell you, my man, it was impressive. So where I come from, Destin, Florida, and some of you guys that may have been there, I know it's kind of jumped up as a pretty popular vacation spot over the past few years. But we have a place back home called Crab Island. It's about a 5-6 acre sunken sandbar. And during the course of the summer, on any given weekday, there'll be 1,000-1,200 boats that are all out there. And pulled up and anchored up, and everybody just kind of hangs out in the water and drinks some adult soda pop and takes in the sunshine. Well, I did not know that there was a that version of that here. But there is. It's Party Cove on Lake Kiawe. And so I will say, first and foremost, as somebody who's obviously concerned, especially now, about the COVID and the pandemic and all that, for the most part, everybody was doing a pretty good job of being socially distanced. I mean, there were a handful of places where you had 7, 8, 9 boats all tied up and a bunch of people gathering in a big group. But the vast majority of boats out there, everybody was anchored up on their own, apart from each other. I mean, we were all talking boat to boat and making friends boat to boat and person to person. But it was from a social distanced, safe distance between everybody, I guess. I'm very good at words. I promise. I've been doing it my whole career. Anyway, we were out there, and it was a super cool spot. I've never been anywhere that is quite like that. I mean, like I said, I've got Crab Island back in Destin, where there's thousands of boats tied up and everybody's friends. But, you know, and we're very fortunate down there because the water is emerald green and the sands are white and the boats are big and beautiful and the scenery's not too bad, if you get what I'm saying, out there on Crab Island. But Lake Kiawe, it's all rolling hills next to the lake and luscious green trees everywhere. And I've never just been hanging out on the front of a boat right in front of a water. It's just beautiful waterfall off in the distance. And, again, also the scenery not too bad there either, if you catch my drift. It was perfect, man. It was a perfect Carolina Sunday. And I have to say, you know, I've heard Mark Ryan say, and I agree with him, that it takes about a year and a half. Tim, have you ever moved from one city to another? Ever moved from one place to another to kind of just start over?
Not yet. Maybe in the not too distant future, you know, in a couple of years, maybe. But I've been in Greenville my whole life.
Okay, I got you. So I'm like you. I had been in Destin, Fort Walton Beach, Pensacola, pretty much my entire life. I had a stint in Tallahassee. I had a stint in Jacksonville. I've had a couple of other smaller stints elsewhere, but I always ended up going back home at some point, or at least the place that, that you know, I'd grown up in and was always home. When I came up here, this is obviously the furthest I've ever moved away from the place that I grew up, away from my friends and family. And for the first 3 months or so, you know, you're still in a new place. I mean, it doesn't really sink in for a while. This is my home now. This is where I live. This is the place that I am from. This is the place that when people ask, where are you from? You say Greenville, South Carolina. It's always been Destin or Pensacola or at least Florida. But I am now 3 months in, and let's see, it's June 29th, March, April, May, June. So, yeah, coming up on the fourth month that I've lived here, so almost a quarter of a year, and I've gotten all the stuff done. I've got the driver's license. I've got the tag on the back of the car changed. All my mail is coming to my new address. You know, I'm from South Carolina, and in sitting out there on the lake on Sunday, there were only four of us on the boat, and so we were sitting out there in the shadow of this beautiful waterfall, just surrounded by these giant, tall, lush green trees, and why, you know, it was kind of, unfortunately, kind of a, well, I say overcast day, but it turns out, and I was informed that I don't know if this is totally true or not yet, but apparently the overcast skies on Sunday that cost me a day out in the sunshine, I thought it was just kind of a cloudy bummer of a day. Tim, apparently, and I don't know if you heard about this, apparently it was a dust storm from the Sahara Desert.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about this, yeah.
Dude.
It's insane.
Like, what? 2020, chill the hell out, bro. Like, relax, man.
There's something new every month that's trying to kill us.
We went from pandemic to nationwide protest to murder hornets to now Saharan death storms across the Carolinas. We're out there, and I just thought it was kind of a crappy, cloudy day, right? The sun tried to break through a time or two, but it just never really got there, and it just felt like an overcast, gross day. But I found out when we got back off the boat that apparently it was a sub-Saharan dust storm that had made its way all the way across the Atlantic, north across the Gulf of Mexico, across the Florida Panhandle, across the skies of Georgia, and was crossing up the Carolina blue skies. Yeah, that was news to me. But anyway, as I sat there and I basked in the mild glow of the Carolina sun underneath a Saharan sandstorm, because 2020's weird, why not just keep getting weirder? I sat on the front of the pontoon boat with my legs dangling off into what is, it was still really clear water. Unfortunately, the sun wasn't there to let you see all the way to the bottom, but you could still see, you know, 9-10 feet deep and look down at these rocks that had been at the bottom of this lake for who knows how many countless tens of thousands of years. And I'm looking around at the Carolina flags flying and the Clemson flags flying and the Panthers flags flying and the South Carolina state flag flying. And I'm looking at all these people wearing all their different Carolina shirts and all that. And I got to tell you, while I agree with Mark Ryan that it takes a year to a year and a half before you move to a new place and you genuinely feel like this is home now, I had this real tinge of being home. Like, this is it. This is where I'm supposed to be. It just, it felt like I found my place. And it was a very comforting thought. Because I will tell you guys, and I'm not saying this out of looking for sympathy, because I'm not. I'm making a point. After last week's shows, you know, I've gotten a handful. Listen, I have got a lot of very pleasant support, text, tweets, emails, and phone calls from people who have been so kind and so welcoming and so gracious to this place. I have made friends already in this area, played some Call of Duty with my buddy Keegan last night. Michael Stathakis has been nothing but kind to me since I've gotten here. And there have been plenty of others, you know who you are, who have reached out and made me feel welcome here. But I've gotten my fair share of we don't want you here emails as well, and we don't want you here tweets and texts as well, no doubt about that. And we got, for whatever reason, a hefty number of them last week. When I sat on the front of that pontoon boat yesterday under the sub-Saharan sandstorm and looked around at this unquestionably South Carolina feeling, in feeling the warmth of the sun and feeling the breeze blowing through those thick green trees and listening to this waterfall cascade down into this absolutely crystal clear, perfect lake, I felt home, man. I felt like I belong here. I felt like this was, I already knew I'd made the right decision in coming here, but it just felt like, and I know I'm going to be cliche and some of you are going to make fun, if you will, I don't care. It just felt like for the first time, genuinely, like South Carolina was welcoming me here. And it was just a really good feeling. So I have been restored, reinvigorated in bringing you guys the best show that I can bring you here on ESPN Upstate, so that you know that I consider this place home now. This is where I'm from. This is where I live. I have felt welcomed overwhelmingly by you guys. I have now felt as if the state itself has given me my first true welcome to the Upstate. And I'm thrilled to be here. A couple of texts at 71307. Start your text with ESPN, so it filters to me at ESPN. Fun fact, there is a town at the bottom of Lake Kiowee. There's a town at the bottom of Lake Kiowee?
I've heard stories of that, but I've never actually seen it or anything like that, or heard any, or like pictures of it, but I've heard of that.
I am going to have to find that. So I assume... in this second text seems to confirm that, as I got a second text that said that, let me pull it back up because, of course, I tried to open it instead, close it. At ESPN, Kiowee is a relatively new lake. If you look around, you will notice roads that run right into the lake. Try Lake Jocassee next time if you like the mountain lakes. Where did I go? I went to Lake, and I think this was in Georgia, Lake Hartwell. I went to Lake Hartwell a couple of weeks ago. And that was actually a lot of fun. That was a nice little lake. I think Jocassee or Jocassee, which one is it? I believe it's Jocassee, right?
Yeah. Lake Jocassee, yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I think Lake Jocassee is next on. There's a few of us that have been making occasional pontoon weekends out on the lake, and I think Lake Jocassee is our next target lake. I definitely want to get out there. But I'm looking at Kiowee right now, and apparently there was a town there that I guess they had to they flooded it to create Lake Kiowee. Yes, unfortunately, I'd like to thank you all. You have now sent me down a rabbit hole of investigating this, and if there's anybody out there that's a diver, is this a can you recreationally dive? This sunken town, because I am a diver. I used to go dive the Gulf of Mexico just off of Destin. I'm a diver. If you can dive down to this, then I 100% know what my next recreational weekend is going to be. I hope to be able to get down there and check that out. I am going to be – I'm a history dude, and I'm going to be learning some stuff. Thank you all very much for sending me down that rabbit hole. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk sports. We got the Cam Newton story. I want to get into that. Coming up here in just a minute from now, we'll talk about whether or not Cam is the answer to saving the Patriots dynasty and saving himself for the Patriots front runner in the AFC now. An AFC that is stock locked and loaded with mobile quarterback talent between Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun, and Cam. What does that mean for Cam and the Patriots? That and a whole lot more on the flip side. It's the Rob Brown Show. You are listening to ESPN Upstate. Cam Newton signing a one-year incentive-heavy contract with the New England Patriots. So Cam is now lined up alongside Tom Brady. Nope, that's not true. Bill Belichick, that other famous Patriots head coach, obviously the hoodie, will be stalking the sidelines and signaling in to Cam what he wants to do to steer the Patriots offense moving forward. And it's kind of interesting because back in 2017, now remember, 2017, just a couple of years removed from a Super Bowl appearance and a league MVP award, Cam Newton was beginning to deal with the injuries that would basically plague the next 3 years of his National Football League career. There was a guy coaching New England at the time, yep, still that guy, Bill Belichick, who was asked at one point, who was the biggest threat to Tom Brady's quarterback dominance? And his answer was Cam Newton. He said that Cam Newton was the biggest threat at the quarterback position in the entire league in 2017, despite the injuries that he had been fighting through to that point. Well, that has not changed at all. Hoodie still thinks that it might be Cam Newton that is the guy as he pushes Jarrett Stidham, we assume, down to second on the depth chart. Brian Hoyer will be third. Brian Lewerke will probably lose his spot. But the question is going to be, is Cam Newton the answer for the Patriots? Are the Patriots ready to continue their run in the AFC? I have been telling you for the past couple of weeks now that I thought we had seen a changing of the guard. I thought that we had just seen the switch from the New England Patriots to the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen and company. Now with the addition of Stephon Diggs there in Buffalo, I thought that the AFC East title was going to, for the first time for the last 136 consecutive years running, move from Foxborough right up the road to Buffalo. But they got hit last night with a Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friends, as Cam Newton is now under center. Can Cam be the guy? Now, I'm going to say one thing about this move that I actually do find intriguing. Over the past couple of years, I did not think that Tom Brady, with the exception of towards the middle of last year, I did not think that Tom Brady had been given the apparatus that he would need in order to go back to being touchdown 20. I thought that Tom Brady had kind of been left out to dry with personnel. But I have to tell you, now that I'm looking down the Patriots depth chart, I think that is probably incorrect now. I actually am liking the depth chart that I'm seeing built around Cam Newton. Sonny Michel at the running back position. If he can keep his knees good to go, I think Sonny Michel at the running back position with James White behind him and Rex Burkhead as kind of the third down back can really provide a pretty solid running back core at the wide receiver position. Julian Edelman, listen. I'm not a big fan of the Julian Edelman wide receiver. The dude's gritty. The dude's tough from that Wes Welker school of wide receiver. I don't dislike the cap, but I think Julian Edelman, same with Wes Welker and others, I think that type of wide receiver really needs a superbly accurate quarterback to put up the numbers that you need him to put up if you want to make a playoff run. Cam Newton's a guy who can throw the ball well. He can spin the bean as well as almost anybody in the league. Not as well as Tom Brady, but then again, the list of quarterbacks that can throw as well and as accurately as Tom Brady is basically him, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. I think of this recent generation of quarterbacks. That's not to say that a guy like Patrick Mahomes might not be able to continue to improve his aerial attack and get there, but I think a guy like a Julian Edelman needs a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees to be wildly successful. But after him, Mohamed Sanu from right down the road, they got him out of Atlanta last year, and I think Sanu has the opportunity to grow along with Cam Newton, as does N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry is a guy that I expected. I mean, the guy's only 22 years of age. I expect him to get better. Now, last season, he really did not have those big-time numbers in the playoffs that I would want out of a guy who's only 22 and growing. Only one reception against Kansas City. The week later, just two against the Bengals. Just two against Buffalo in their penultimate game against Miami to end the year three receptions for 29 yards, and then the game against Tennessee, just two snags in that 2013 loss to the Titans. He is not quite there yet, but if there's a quarterback I want him to grow behind, Cam Newton's not a bad one. I mean, yeah, I'd rather him pair up with Tom Brady, but there's been the argument over the past couple of months that Tom Brady's not really a guy anymore to develop young talent with. He's pretty much set in his ways, not a guy who wants to take a lot of risk, and risk are what allow young guys to grow. And so, you know, look, I'm looking at Cam Newton, and I'm wondering, does he have the ability, does he have the capability to grow a guy like N'Keal Harry? And again, I think Cam Newton is as motivated as he's ever been in his career. We've seen the Instagram posts and the Instagram videos and all that. I think he's about as motivated as you could ask a guy to be at that position. So I don't hate the potential for the growth there. But here's what I found very interesting about Cam Newton. Let's go back to 2018. And Delvin, I see you on the phone. I'm coming to you in just a second, buddy, so don't hang up just yet. Coming to you to talk Cam here in just a second. I want to go back to last year for Cam Newton. 2018 for Cam Newton. Through the first eight games of Cam Newton's 2018 season, okay? Eight games for 2018. Cam Newton, eight games, started all eight, 117 of 263. That is a completion percentage of just under 68%. Is that world-breaking? No. But the dude was also one more game away from crossing the 2,000-yard mark in just a touch over half the season. 15 touchdowns, four interceptions, a 100.8 QB rate. Sacked only 12 times, so he was sacked about 1.25 times per game and lost 84 yards due to sack. But he also ran the ball 73 times for 342 yards and four touchdowns. That is a rushing average of 4.68 yards per attempt. If I asked you right now, if you wanted a running back that would average you almost 4.7 yards per touch and have four touchdowns through eight games, you might say I want some more touchdowns out of him, but I'm not upset at a guy who's threatening 5 yards a carry. You'd take that. That's your quarterback. Cam Newton was on his way to a career year in terms of offensive efficiency before he had to have that surgery that would cost him the rest of the 2018 year. Of course, it would lead to Jared Allen. Jared Allen came in, played relatively well for the Panthers to the point that there was a quarterback controversy that I think ultimately led to David Tepper and the Panthers deciding that they would go ahead and allow Matt Rhule to make that quarterback change to Teddy Bridgewater. I am telling you now, I've said and I'll say again, that when it comes down to it, I absolutely think that in a year or two down the road, the Carolina Panthers are going to be looking at the success of Cam Newton and saying, we should have kept him. We should have let him maintain. We should have given him the respect that he earned as the quarterback of this football team, because he's going to go somewhere and do big things. And that was before I knew it was going to be alongside Bill Belichick in the hoodie. We know that hoodie is absolutely phenomenal in terms of catering his offense towards a certain player. He can do that. He switches his game plan up more than maybe any other coach in the National Football League. He will make that league work and that offense work for Cam Newton, as opposed to trying to shoehorn Cam Newton into his offense. Delvin, I see you're on hold. Stay right there. I'm going to go run to our break. We're way late for it. We'll get our break in. We'll come back. We'll talk to Delvin about Cam Newton. Phone lines open for you if you'd like to chime in at 844-477-3776, or text me your thoughts to 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Back right after this to finish up Cam Newton talk on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Let me get my guy Delvin in here real quick before we head to the top of the hour. Talk a little Cam Newton. Delvin, thanks for hanging in, buddy. Good to have you back on the show, man. I appreciate it.
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well. We got about 2 minutes for you. What you got for us?
Man, this one I think I'm out. They pull me back in, the Patriots, man. I think Bill Belichick sitting there with a smile on face, pinning on the cat, just smiling to everybody, saying, hey, "I got you, guys." I bet he did it. I got you. I'm telling you, I know what I think he's doing now. He's saying, "I got you." I think this. Don't forget, you talking about the fit. I think it's a great fit. Don't forget, Joshua Daniels coached Tim Tebow, so you know he can put an offense around Cam Newton.
Yeah, you're spot on. Listen, I mean, there's not a lot of coordinators that I specifically want to see Cam Newton have the opportunity to flourish under. Daniels is a guy that knows how to run an offense with a mobile quarterback, but kind of a bigger mobile quarterback, right? Like he said, Cam Newton's not going to run like Lamar in that he can, you know, he's a spin move guy. But when he gets outside of the pocket, he absolutely is a threat. McDaniels knows how to utilize him better than anybody. And when you pair that with a guy like Bill Belichick, who, Delvin, we know knows how to format an offense around one particular player to redo his entire game plan to one player and will also allow Josh McDaniels to have the freedom to play around with Cam Newton as an offensive toy a little bit. This was the best possible landing place for Cam Newton as far as I'm concerned.
And I think this was – you talking about the receiver. I think it was him to kill her and Muhammad Sanu. And this is why I think when he get out of the pocket, you know, the corners will come up try to tackle him. That's when they do. He can throw the ball to him down the field like that because you know they're going to try to come up. And what you're going to do, he'll put you in the spot. Do you come and try to tackle him or you going to even shoot over? And I think that'll help the receivers out too.
Yeah, Delvin, I think you're right, brother. Great to talk to you, man. I appreciate you checking in. It's good to talk to you. Cam Newton's a guy that extends plays. Josh McDaniels is a coordinator who knows how to utilize that quarterback. And Bill Belichick's the guy that I think is willing to kind of hand over the control and the trust to allow him to do just that. I think this was Cam's best possible outcome, to tell you the truth. Quick break. 2 hours left to go. It'll be worth it. Stick around. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate.